tomorrow.
But I think that everybody's feeling at that time was, look, we're all starving to death, you know? And it's time we got to start making a living at this, or I was going to have to get a job selling ladies' shoes or something, you know? It's like, we just decided, we said, well, maybe we should look for a singer, you know? Maybe we're missing a front man here that will carry. I mean, I know the music is good and the musicianship is great, but we need something else for people to focus on, all right? Maybe to make this thing work.
When the lights go down in the city and the sun shines on the bay,
no idea what I was in store for. I had no idea. I remember being in San Francisco. We finished the Infinity record. We rehearsed briefly. I really didn't realize how much a real workhorse this band was until, I'd say, 178 shows later. That same tour, nonstop.
Hi, this is Greg Raleigh.
This is Steve Perry.
Hi, this is Neil Schon in the studio for Journey's Infinity.
By summer 1977, the San Francisco-based band Journey had already released three major label studio albums, but they didn't have a lot to show for it. Nobody could question the individual pedigrees of the musicians in Journey. In those early days, the band was built around the solos of guitarist Neil Schon and keyboard player, singer Greg Raleigh, who had been together in Santana and then went off to form Journey when Schon was still only 18. Bass player Ross Valerie had played with the Steve Miller Band. And English drummer Ainsley Dunbar was a veteran of several bands, including Frank Zappa's Mothers of Invention and also David Bowie. Journey was big in the mid-70s San Francisco club scene, and their virtuosity got them high marks from a few critics, but they weren't selling any records, according to Journey co-founder Greg Raleigh.
It was a cross between, you know, rock and roll and fusion, and we tried all kinds of stuff, a lot of dabbling in every corner of music. But the real idea behind the band was more, let's go play live, and we used to knock people out. In fact, as Herbie put it, we sold more tickets than we did records. People would come to see the band for the instrumentation and the energy of it, more so than the fact that it wasn't following suit with anything else on the radio. We did 8-minute songs and nobody would do those things, but we did.
She holds on a little longer.
Journey gave us on that early 78 release, Infinity, Wheel in the Sky, co-written by guitarist Journey co-founder Neil Schon, who readily admits that when band manager Herbie Herbert floated the idea of adding a lead vocalist, the band members were pretty receptive to the idea.
I think that everybody's feeling at that time was, look, we're all starving to death, you know? And it's time we got to start making a living at this, or I was going to have to get a job selling ladies' shoes or something, you know? It's like, hey, you know, and I didn't want to really take another job. I wanted to play music and make a living at it. So it was like either, you know, make a move and have it be the right move or move on to another band. You know, I was ready to try something different maybe. I didn't know. I was getting confused, you know? It was like you try and you try and you try, and it's like you go back to the drawing board, and if it doesn't work, then you try something else. We had worked our butts off, basically, you know? I mean, basically paid our dues as much as we could pay them. I mean, we're traveling all around the States in a station wagon, like about 9 guys crammed in it, like driving everywhere just about in the nick of time just to jump on stage. I mean, it was like that, and we had been just like the workhorse for years and years. We just decided, we said, well, maybe we should look for a singer, you know? Maybe we're missing a front man here that will carry. I mean, I know the music is good and the musicianship is great, but we need something else for people to focus on, all right, maybe to make this thing work.
The first singer recruited was named Robert Fleischman. He even co-wrote Wheel in the Sky. But Fleischman never quite settled in. So Journey manager Herbie Herbert stumbled upon an unknown Los Angeles singer named Steve Perry.
I was here in Los Angeles. I had a group at the time that was just being called Street Talk Band, which later I used for an album I did, because the talk on the street was that it was really a good band and should be signed. And the bass player of the band, who I sang a lot with, we sang these two parts, and he had a higher voice than I did. Incredible voice, this kid. He's from Detroit. His name was Richard Michaels, and he played bass guitar, like I said, and also a co-writer. We did all these vocal parts together. Unfortunately, to not put a damper on your overall intention here, he was killed in a car wreck July 4th weekend. And that, I believe, was the summer of 77. Shortly after that, I really pretty much thought, you know, I've had it. I have tried so many times to get close, meaning to get finally a record deal to start making records. Every time I would get closer, something just a little bigger would knock me out. Well, I was so close to getting signed. We were talking deals the next work day after this 4th of July weekend with all the labels. And this happened on the weekend. So I said, you know, somewhere up there, someone's saying, not right now. I don't think so. It's not this time, or maybe never. So I felt that in my heart, and I sort of heeded those feelings and gave in to them and called back. And I'd worked a lot of construction with my dad and everything from bowling alleys to repairing turkey brooders, which, well, I've done a lot of work in my life, in construction work. I called back up there and asked if there was any work because I just had had it. My mom, who has passed now, said to me on the phone to stay in there. She said to stay there. Something would happen. I said, Mom, you know, I appreciate the enthusiasm. You've always been by my side. You've always stood by me, and I really appreciate it, but I think I've had it, you know, because it, like I say, it just keeps on knocking me out. And she says, well, you have a month left anyway. You've given your first and last, and so on my apartment, just at least ride the 4 weeks left out. Okay. 2 weeks later, Don Ellis, who was the head of the West Coast of CBS at the time, called me up and said he was sorry to hear about what happened. He loved the band, was very interested in signing the band. Would I be interested in hearing some tapes of some of the new stuff that a group they have on a label called Journey wants to make a conscious change into a singer? Would I be interested? And I said, sure. I mean, yeah. Great. So I went down to CBS and we talked. And he had already, unbeknownst to me, sent my tape of my band to Herbie, the manager of the band. And they were already in Hawaii with another singer that they were working with. And I should mention his name, Robert Fleischman's his name. He's a great singer. They just changed their mind sort of midstream after they heard the tape. I got a call, and the next thing I knew, I'll never forget my little phone machine, this old funky phone machine, had this message that I would be interested in flying out to meet the band in Denver, Colorado. I flew out to Denver, and Neil and I wrote, Patiently, was the first song we ever wrote together.
Here I stand so patiently for your lights to shine on me, for your song inside of me. This we bring to you in the shadow. Leaving me helpless, just to reach and try to live my life. These are my reasons, so here we stand so patiently for your song.
Greg Raleigh had sung the classic Black Magic Woman for Santana and then lead vocals on all three Journey albums prior to Infinity. Greg remembers checking out the unsung new guy, Steve Perry, prior to recording the Infinity album.
He and I went out and he and I were talking about the band and how it would be put together and this and that. He was asking all kinds of questions about, you know, before he would dive into anything. And we were discussing vocal techniques and stuff, riding around in his little yellow Volkswagen. And I was sitting there and I had never really heard him sing at all. And he sang something to me in the car. And I looked over at him, I was going, I couldn't do that. That's what I was thinking to myself. My God, this guy's got a voice. And that's when it struck me that, I mean, he could just do it right there. And, you know, most people have to get real prompted and he's got the natural gift.
Steve Perry was more than aware that Journey already had a veteran lead singer, which Perry would be augmenting rather than replacing.
And it was somewhere out, I think, in Glendale or Pasadena. They were playing a show in a Quonset Hut, big Quonset Hut club, and it was an echoey locker room kind of thing. I think it was a gymnasium during the day, but it was a great club sound. And back there, he asked me to join along with him and come along, so I hung out and I picked up the bass, which I nerdled on a little bit, and started playing Lights and started singing it. And at that point in time, I started joining in some harmonies, and we started working out some harmonies on the chorus a little bit. And You know, I love Echo. Thank God it was a gymnasium and a locker room, because I think it got me the gig. And at that point, Greg Raleigh was my big concern, because he was the singer of the band. How's this guy going to let me in, you know? And why would he want to, you know? And he did. He did.
Journey's fourth album, 1978's Infinity, that's the Steve Perry lyric he actually composed from his days in Los Angeles's Griffith Park, changed it to City by the Bay when he joined Journey, and co-wrote Lights with Neil Sean. Up next, Steve Perry talks candidly about being the new guy, and Greg Raleigh and Neil Sean reveal how quickly some people forget. Follow In the Studio on Facebook, at Redbeard Rocks on Twitter, and check out inthestudio.net for a lot more from Journey. I'm Redbeard in the studio for the anniversary of Journey's breakthrough million seller, Infinity.
Hi, this is Greg Raleigh.
This is Steve Perry.
Hi, this is Neil Sean in the studio for Journey's Infinity.
Thank you, gentlemen. I'm Redbeard. Their spring 1978 breakthrough, their fourth album, and their first million seller. It was also Journey's first to feature new singer, Steve Perry, who admits to being anxious about his role of augmenting rather than replacing Greg Raleigh. And Perry admits there were doubts about Steve as well.
At the beginning, I must admit, there was a reluctance on some of the members, who I will leave nameless, because it doesn't matter. It's only natural, but I could sense a serious reluctance of, well, is this the way to go, you know, this singer? I mean, maybe we should stay the way it is, you know, and just be a real heavy Floydish type, intense musical virtuosity expressive type group, you know, which it remained in my opinion to be even after I joined him, but it was deeper in the instrumental side. So there was a natural reluctance there, like you say, I think I did have to prove myself, but I also had to prove myself to me too, because this was a position that I all my life said that I was worthy of. And I think that was the first person I proved it to me and wanted to stand by myself. And if you do that, all else will or won't follow. And if it doesn't follow, it doesn't matter. My role, I think, in the band, I don't know. I think I just did what I did, which was sing and songwriting. Everybody was doing that anyway, along with, and we were all collaborating. It really, really was a band, which I think was the synergy of the group. And I also was trying to help everybody, you know, get into the concept of singing more, you know, which they were ready to do anyway. They were excited, and at the time they were ready to do that.
Open my eyes to a new kind of way. All the good times that you say. Are you feeling? You're feeling that way too? Or am I just? Am I just a fool? It's not the same. Just another day. Please let me stay.
A great example of how the addition of Steve Perry opened up creative avenues for all of the songwriters in Journey is the song Feeling That Way, which actually had already been recorded with Greg Raleigh on lead vocal under a different title called Velvet Curtain. Here's the singer and composer, Greg Raleigh of Journey.
I had a song that I actually couldn't, I didn't know what to do. I had the music here and I had the verses, but I didn't know what to do with the choruses, and I played it at my house. Steve was living with me at the time, and I played it for him, and he just started singing on top of that, and it became what it did. We would get to places where I didn't have the range to hit it. He'd do it. Things like that happened all the time. And then it became a way of finding it. Again, it was like hit and miss. Same thing as what I had found in Santana. You just try for things, because I wasn't schooled. I'm not a schooled musician at all. So it's just got to sound good. That's really how that worked in. And I liked sharing those things, playing off of each other. And I think it's terrific. I think it ought to happen more often in music.
Steve Perry.
I can remember Greg Raleigh and myself sitting together and working on Feeling That Way, which is really one of the first tunes that I was able to introduce myself on stage. Because the song started off with a typical, very, very traditional Journey pre-Steve Perry sound. And it was really, really clever the way we sat down, Greg Raleigh and myself, and it was really clever how I believe in my heart still to this day, we integrated, well, here comes a new guy into the song and used that as the way I was introduced on stage also. So it wasn't so abrupt like, well, ladies and gentlemen, here he is. It was not silly, you know, it was part of the musicality, I think, of the band.
Open my eyes to a new kind of way. All the good times that you saved. Are you feeling? You feeling that way too? Or am I just? Am I just a fool?
When the summer's gone, she'll be back, standing by the light. What she's been to, where she's gone to, she should know wrong from right. Is she feeling?
Are you feeling? You're feeling that way too? Or am I just? Am I just a fool? Waiting, you touch my life. Oh, soft and warm on a summer's night. You're the only one I told you, the only one I love, the lovely one.
Anytime had Greg Raleigh on lead vocals. Journey's breakthrough 1978 album, Infinity. Still to come, Neil Sean and Steve Perry rejoin Greg Raleigh for the aptly named Infinity Tour and the 1979 million-seller album, Evolution, which follow. Follow In the Studio on Facebook, at Redbeard Rocks on Twitter, and you can hear a lot more at inthestudio.net. I'm Redbeard. You're in the studio with Journey.
Hi, this is Greg Raleigh.
This is Steve Perry.
Hi, this is Neil Sean in the studio for Journey's Infinity.
Thanks again, guys. I'm Redbeard. After three unsuccessful studio albums, Journey co-founder Greg Raleigh says that when the Infinity album was released in spring 1978, Greg felt confident that Journey was on to something this time.
The main thing that I really felt was that when we finished the record, that we had really done something that we could go play and beat up and really go do it. We felt very strong, very unified about it. And we were making a mark where we were we took the chance to go out and headline when, by all rights, we probably shouldn't have. We took a big chance headlining, 3,000-seaters. By the time it was over, we were in much bigger places. You got to take a chance, We toured that with Van Halen on their first record as well, so it was a hell of a show. And we played from, 3,000 and 4,000 to 10,000 because of the strength of both of us and kind of broke both bands. There was much more of an air of there's something going on here, of course. But I knew it before we left. I knew that we had done it. Whether somebody recognized it or not, this was a damn good record and it really had something special. And I don't know how to explain why I know that, but I did.
In hindsight being 2020, Journey co-founder guitarist Neil Sean laughs at how obvious and easy everybody seems to think it was for Journey to just add this unknown, untested new singer to their tightly knit band and just have it instantly transform into America's most popular band in the Gallup poll within 3 years.
In the beginning of Journey, we basically had nobody on our side, you know, and it was a long, working, hard process. A lot of people just thought, well, these guys just made it, you know, out of nowhere. Wrong. You know, wrong.
From Infinity's follow-up, 1979's Evolution, that's Journey with Greg Raleigh on lead vocal with Just the Same Way. No doubt written somewhere along the lengthy 1978 tour that Journey played to promote the Infinity album, featuring their new lineup, which now included Steve Smith replacing Ainsley Dunbar on drums. Here's singer-songwriter Steve Perry.
I had no idea what I was in store for. I had no idea. I remember being in San Francisco. We finished the Infinity record. We rehearsed briefly, we left, and the next thing I knew, I was in Racine, Wisconsin, and it was cold, you know, and there was literally, I think, waist-high snow everywhere, and all I remember was walking from the dressing room to the stage. You had to walk through an area that was like a garage that was open to the outdoor, because that's where the trucks would pull in to unload, and there was no way to get from the dressing room, which was warm, to the stage, which was almost warm, except walking through there, you know, and sparsely dressed, we walked, and froze big, you know. So that was a big shock for me. That's when I realized that I was on the road, and to answer your question, I really didn't realize how much a real workhorse –
this band was until, I'd say, well, 178 shows later, that same tour, nonstop. But I got to tell you, I would not change one thing, because it was the way to do it. It was the old rock and roll. You rock tonight, you roll to the next place, and you rock again.
You make me weak and wanna die just when you said we tried loving, touching.
Composer of Love and Touch and Squeezin', Steve Perry.
What happened was my girlfriend was out running around, and I really didn't know about it until one night. I'd gotten back up early, about 11:30, 12 o'clock, and I was really tired from working from the early day to that point, so I went to bed, and I woke up about 2 o'clock and realized that she wasn't there yet. And just casually walked out to the front window to see her stepping out of a Corvette and another guy stepping out of that Corvette and, you know, heavy lip lock action going on. You know what I'm saying? You know, it looked like there were some tongue grooves going, the whole thing, you know. And I said, whoa, look at that. So it definitely wasn't, you know, a cruise for yogurt, you know. So, you know, but at the time,
I was blinded and wanted to believe so much that, and this is how naive I was, I really wanted to believe what I wanted to believe real badly. And when she came in, I jacked her up about it. I says, well, you know, what was all that? She says, oh, don't be silly, just a friend. You know? So I kind of just left that as it was, and it wasn't too long after that the whole thing was over, and it had to finish out and run its course. And so the song came about out of the absolute emotional desperation, because it is a payback kind of like song, because she ended up dating that guy instead of me, and then when that was all over and done, you know, it won't be long till her man's out doing to her what she did to me.
Journey co-founder and guitarist Neil Sean.
We had no time off at all. We just, you know, I'd come off the tour and in rehearsal, right, get a new record ready in 2 weeks and go back in the studio and slam it, you know. If we had no time to think about anything. You know, it definitely not in the early days, not at all.
Journey keyboard player, singer, songwriter, and co-founder Greg Raleigh.
The Infinity Tour was called the Infinity Tour because it was infinity that we were out there. The band worked harder than almost any band, except for possibly Kansas at that time, and I still think we whooped them. So we were out there all the time. The band made it on personal appearances and getting a name out and sold itself totally. We were fortunate to get Infinity on the radio, and that took it that extra mile. It was pretty. It was a very alive band, I have to admit. It was. I'm real proud of Journey through its whole course, what it did for music then and now, and through all the people that were involved. It lasted a great time. I mean, if you were to look at it, you know, taking the art and the creativity and you take that away and just look at it as the kind of business that was run and how it was done and why it was successful, it's very close to brilliant. And I'm real proud of it.
is Redbeard in the studio, thanking my guests, Greg Raleigh, Steve Perry, and Neil Sean. In the Studio is written and produced by yours truly for Bearded Fish Productions. Copyright 2013, all rights reserved. Transcription by Jane Carpenter Brune. Theme song by Andy Timmons. Follow In the Studio on Facebook, at Redbeard Rocks on Twitter. And for much more from your favorites, visit inthestudio.net.